Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Three Beards EPL Soccer Podcast. I am your host, Tom Miller. I am with Ken Lee, Arsenal fan, and struggling a little bit with the Arsenal these past few weeks, Ken.
I like the way you tell me, 5 minutes ago, we're not going to talk about Arsenal. You introduce it.
Yeah, well,
I'll smack you in the face next time I see you.
Well, honestly, we are not going to talk a lot about Arsenal today. I did want to mention the fact that Arsenal is struggling right now, but we've already, if you listen to the last, like, 7 episodes, you'll hear about Arsenal's struggles. Arsenal buried in 6th place, lose again today to Brighton.
If you guys are taking, you know, any type of good feeling about the whole situation at Arsenal, I would highly recommend looking inside yourselves and getting a better attitude. It's not kind, nor no. In the winner's mindset to kick horses while they are down.
That's why we're not going to do the Arsenal Wenger out, all that kind of stuff. We're going to mention it, and that's going to be the end of it. Arsenal loses again.
Consider it mentioned.
They are in 6th place. They are not going to finish in 5th place or in the top 4. And that's it for the Arsenal coverage today, Ken. We are going to move on and talk about some good stuff. We had, not even good stuff. We had, how'd you guys do with the giant storm this week? With the nor'easter?
What do they call it? What do they call that thing? A wind bomb or something? A wind tunnel? Or I don't know what they call it.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah, like, for those of you who are not in the Mid-Atlantic region of the United States, we had, I guess it was a nor'easter. Tyler's a nor'easter?
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
Basically, winds of 40 with gusts of 70 plus.
Meteorologist all fell.
A lot of trees falling down. But how'd you guys do? I know, Tyler, this is your first time in the new house, and you guys got some trees there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, we spent the night in a hotel and left the house because we had no heat, no power.
Oh, wow.
It was not fun, but we were only out for 24 hours. I still have people in our family that don't have anything right now, so I feel lucky to have gotten it back in a day.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was at a coffee shop this morning, and people have been out of power since noon, Friday.
Yeah, my parents don't have power. They don't have heat either. And it's, with the wind blowing, it's cold. Super cold. It's like 35 right now, and still a little bit of wind left. But glad to hear you guys made it through. Tyler, sorry to hear that you were out of power for 24 hours, but like you said, that's pretty good. Hope everybody else in the area made it out okay. I know there was a lot of trees down. But on to some more positive stuff. Ken, we're going to talk about attack today. We're going to talk about attack. We're going to take the table into account when we talk about the best attack in the Prem, and we're going to transition that to the best attack in the world. We're going to talk about the best setup men in the world, Ken, as we've delved a little bit into the number nines and the goal scorers, and I want to talk about setup men. So get yourself ready, Ken. I know Arsenal, for whatever there is going on in the table, they still have some dudes that can set up goals, some of the best. And we have the matches to talk about as well, but I do want to get into attack. Attack, attack, attack. Think about Liverpool and Tottenham in their form and the way they're challenging and the machine that is Manchester City. We will get into all that. We will start with the matches. We already covered the Arsenal match. Not much to say behind that one. But, Ken, the match of the week was supposed to be Manchester City versus Chelsea. But, honestly, I thought it was kind of boring.
Yeah, I would say the same, honestly. It was just, it was more of the same. I mean, luckily, Tyler and I were talking about it before. Luckily, Chelsea has a pretty stout defense because
yeah,
either their defense is really good or Man City was just really off today because Chelsea didn't have a shot on target.
Yeah.
And they ended 1-0, lost 1-0 to the most informed team, arguably, in the world.
Yeah, it's Barcelona.
I mean, 1-0, if you didn't watch it, it seems like a lot better result than it really was, but it was It was grade A, 90 minutes of boredom if you're looking for, we're expecting Chelsea to get something out of that at any point.
I would say, Ken, that especially in this year, would you say that that was a Jose game? Like, you just had, I mean, maybe even worse.
I would say, I mean, it's
Chelsea
just,
was worse.
It's tactical at this moment because you... You're talking to a guy who has had six goals scored against the guy that team in
eight games. You guys got to play him twice.
So, if you're going in there and you're thinking that you're going to attack, and get something from it, I just don't see that really coming. I do think that that is the only way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But for the clubs that are in a position to fight for something that actually matters, i.e., second, third, or fourth, you cannot go in there really playing to win. You have to go in there playing to draw and then get out of there and go out there and be somebody next weekend.
Yeah.
So I think that Conte and Chelsea did what they should have done. I think going into halftime, they would have been really happy to be 0-0, but unfortunately it only took about 65 seconds to erase that in the second half, and then it was just more of the same in the first half, just no way for Chelsea to get back in. They just weren't ready.
So,
yeah, Tom,
go ahead, Tyler.
Quick, no, I was just going to say, it's funny that you say that, because now that I'm thinking about it, it was a Mourinho-style game, because I think the only two chances that were even remotely close, which weren't even really counted as shots on goal, were in the second half, and they were off of breakaways, you know, counterattacking football, which is his, you know, as you know, as a Manchester United fan in the current era, that's his bread and butter. That's how he plays.
Yeah,
and it's boring to watch.
Yeah.
He gets results, but it is boring, unfun football to watch.
Unfun. That is a great way to describe it, actually, Tyler. Unfun football. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I'd throw more stones, but like you said, Ken, I mean, Conte actually said after the match that he somebody was questioning his style going into the game, and he said, "Have you seen them play? Like, you'd have to be an idiot to attack them right now with the way they're playing."
Well, and that goes with the preface that if you're in line to fight for fourth, which Chelsea very much is, any other club in the league should absolutely be attacking them, because they have shown themselves to be a little weaker in the back when they are put on the back foot. But, you know, Chelsea has something to play for, and if they could have left with a 0-0 draw, gotten a point, gone with him four points a fourth, you put a little bit of more pressure on Tottenham and United going forward, and, you know, it's a different thing. But is a loss detrimental against Man City in the grand scheme of things? Against City, no, but in terms of finishing fourth, it might be.
Yeah, and we have to give City their due. They set Premier League records in this game for passes completed, including Gundogan, the center midfielder who's replacing Fernandinho, having the most passes ever completed in a match from that position. So, I mean, it was impressive, that part of it. But honestly, Chelsea, their press didn't start till the half field. So a lot of those passes were completed between the fullbacks.
Exactly. Like, when you're playing a team that you're not trying to attack and you have all of your guys in the back. It was, you saying it was Mourinho, like, it was very... very, like, circa Mourinho Chelsea days, because they had every single player in their box defending. I mean, when you can, that's something that no one, I don't think, has given Pep quite enough credit for this season, is he's turning the Chelsea's, United's, the Arsenal's into mid-level, lower club teams that are just going in, whether it's home or away, hoping for a draw.
Yeah.
Parking the bus, and if you can score a goal on us, good for you.
Yeah, it's because their passing has been so excellent this year. They're gonna shatter the records for possession. In this game, they had 80% possession. They're going to shatter the record for passes completed in a season and passing percentage. So it's a high-passing game, the tiki-taka game. That's how you say it, right, Ken?
Tiki-tak?
Tiki-taka. No.
Tiki-taka?
Yeah. The Barcelona style, and they've definitely brought that over, and they perfected it. Tyler, I have to ask you, having seen that and seeing Conte, how did you feel about Hazard starting up top, and Willian. I mean, Willian's so informed, he has to play, but no Giroud in this game. I thought Giroud could have been used.
No, I would like to see them get more mileage out of him and keep Hazard where he's more comfortable as a, you know, attacking winger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like them putting Hazard up front was kind of their play when they were trying to figure out how they would get a true attacker up there.
Yeah.
And that's what they were doing. That's how they were trying to win every game, just by feeding Hazard as many balls as possible and hoping he'd put one in. And it feels like they're falling back on that again, even though they have options now.
Yeah.
And just to go back to what you were saying about parking the bus before, I do have to say I felt real pain when I saw Azpilicueta take that shot from Sané into the inside when he blocked the goal. I mean, he saved... He saved a goal, but my God. I looked at that and cringed. That was... But I guess that's what you can do when you have, 10 of your starting 11 in the box.
Yeah. I mean, it was a terrific block from Azpilicueta, and it was a brave performance from the Chelsea backline. Christensen makes another mistake in this one, Ken, his third game in a row with a mistake. He's 21 years old as a center back for Chelsea, replacing the old guard guys. No David Luiz, obviously. He's on the outs with his manager. But Christensen, having made mistakes in three gigantic matches for them, including two mistakes in the United game, one mistake in the Barcelona game, and
it's
one
to be expected
here.
Though.
Yeah. I
mean, he doesn't have enough on-field experience in big games like this. So, I mean, I think that much like Conte throwing Hazard up as a striker, which is, you might as well put him in as a center back. It's just as uncomfortable for him. Hazard is only good when he can build up in a link-up play. He's not the target guy. He sets up and he can become the target guy in a link-up. But to me, that speaks volumes to, why did you sign Giroud in the first place? If he wasn't backup for Morata, and he's not going to start when Morata's not available to start, what was the point of that signing? So I don't get that, but it doesn't. I don't know. Like, to me, it just, he's going to beat Christensen. That is back to him.
Mm-hmm.
Conte and Chelsea have made a decision that this is going to be a season that he kind of sows his oats in the league. Whether Conte's here next season to kind of reap the rewards of that, I don't think so, but it'll be a little chance. But I think that this season, knowing that Chelsea was not going to defend the title, they weren't going to go out and win it, it's a perfect season for them to get this guy in, because Chelsea's kind of made their name as of years lately being a very defensively sound club, and they'll win that 1-0, 2-1 game.
Yeah, they haven't gotten the bounces this year like they did last year. Also missing in this game is N'Golo Kante, the two-time league player of the year, defensive midfielder. I think it is a different game with him in there. Instead, you replace him with Cesc Fabregas and Danny Drinkwater. Drinkwater, who is a mediocre midfielder who can play defensively, and Cesc Fabregas, who's too slow and is an attacking midfielder who sits deep, a deep-lying playmaker. I think that makes a big difference when those guys are matched up against De Bruyne and Silva. De Bruyne a little quiet in this game, but Silva with a couple moments of brilliance, enough to get them the win. And you'd have to say that the game would have been different, and I think Conte, the manager, was, lamenting the fact that he wasn't there. Another thing that I saw, I don't know if you read about this either, Ken, and this is for you, Tyler. I was reading about how Chelsea missed Diego Costa in this game, and they missed David Luiz in this game, and how Antonio Conte has basically had those two guys that he butted heads with, and then Luiz hasn't played a lot. He's only playing in emergency situations when he was one of their stars last year. And missing Diego Costa, Todd, what's your thoughts on not having Diego Costa for a game like this, that physical presence and the guy who can poke people in the eyes, the bastard, as the English media call him?
Ah, that's what most people call me as well. So. I still feel like that is one of the greatest missteps I've ever seen a manager do, is let a top flight striker, arguably one of the best in the world at the time that he was not used, just slip away for no reason, not getting anything from it. It's terrible, and he absolutely could have been used. He could have been used all season.
I mean, especially with Murata struggling.
Yeah, and I couldn't tell you the exact statistics off the top of my head, but I feel like he was one of the top, like in the top three scorers last season that he played.
Mm-hmm.
So
when he played, but then remember he got blackballed towards the middle of the season. He was starting to lose playing time, but yeah, he was excellent. He was a 20 goal scorer.
Yeah, no, it's. It's frustrating, and it's always going to be frustrating as I see them try and struggle to find a real striker that's consistent, because that's what he was. He was a real striker that was consistent, and he pulled defenders onto him, which allowed other people, like Hazard, to score more, because you had to keep at least one body, if not two bodies, on him at all times, and that freed up the rest of the field and the other players. So, no, it's always going to be frustrating that was handled so poorly.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a tough loss. We have to remember that it's a 1-0 loss for Chelsea, and even though it is a 1-0 loss, it's a massive loss. Losing to United and City back-to-back at this time in the season when the run-in is happening, it drops them 5 points behind Tottenham, who is doing the opposite. Tottenham is playing good football right now, starting to fly a little bit. Ken, do you want to say anything else about the City Chelsea game before we move on, other than City is 18 points clear and Pep was really fired up about the win, that it's just a matter of time for their celebration. It looks like it could be against Manchester United they celebrate the title.
Yeah, they were talking about on NBC
mm-hmm.
Sports after the game, like, to be a City fan right now and to be a City player, like, basically getting to choose where you win the league.
Yep.
At Old Trafford, at the Etihad, mm-hmm. at Wembley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they could do anything they wanted.
Yeah, and they've been playing so well. We will get in a conversation about whether they are the best English Premier League team or English League team that we've ever seen. I mean, we can only really talk about the Premier League, so that's what we'll end up doing. But we'll get into that when they win the title. But for now, they get another big win, and they're 18 points clear. Exactly what you said, Ken. They make good teams seem like mid-table teams. We touched on the Tottenham game. Tottenham is playing good football right now, Ken. They win 2-0. Son scores twice. Two nice finishes and two great balls, setup balls. One from Dele Alli, who's quietly coming back to life as a setup man, Ken. He's not going to score 20 goals, but he's setting nice ball by him through for Son. And then Harry Kane's cross is ridiculous. If you can get a chance to see it, it's a terrific ball to him. Still a nice finish, but Tottenham looking good right now. 2-0 win, putting pressure on United.
Yeah, I mean, that's about all you can say. I mean, where they are right now, they just have to keep putting pressure on. They have to keep winning, because for right now, the next, I'd say, one or two games, they can kind of put fourth away,
mm-hmm.
depending on the results that they get. But
I
mean, now to your point, Thomas, it's all about that elusive second place finish, that all important second place.
I like second place, Ken. They do play Juve at home this week, so that'll be on Wednesday. That's a big match for them. But they have an easier run in than the rest of these teams. If they beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, which is a big if, we're you know, form is one thing, but these big matches are decided by one goal still. Chelsea will be at Stamford Bridge on April 1st. Tottenham needs to win that game. If they win that game, they probably lock up fourth. They do play City again, but the rest of the run-in's pretty weak that they play in. They do have Champions League matches to consider, like the Juve match on Wednesday. But they're playing well. Their goal differential is excellent. It's plus 31, which puts them in fourth place for goal differential, and seven goals above Chelsea in case there's a draw there. But Tottenham playing sound football over their little blip in the road, and playing sound football against decent teams, beating the teams they need to beat. And today, getting goals from someone other than Harry Kane, which is actually really important for them to find other people that are in form. But yeah, Tottenham in fourth right now, definitely a threat for second. They are 2 points out of second place as Liverpool goes ahead here, Ken, and this is the reason that I was thinking about attack. Watching this Liverpool attack right now, they win 2-0. They didn't smash Newcastle, but Newcastle's well organized. They're a Rafa team. They're well organized. And yep. Mo Salah and Mane get their goals in this one. Salah continues to be ridiculous and is about to pass Luis Suarez as the highest goal scorer in the Premier League history for Liverpool. I think it's all comps. I think Luis Suarez has 31 in all comps. He also had about 22 assists. And Mo Salah sits, I believe, at 31 goals now in all comps. So, what do you want to add about that attack before we get into the conversation about their overall attack?
I mean, it was just dismantling a semi-sound Newcastle club. I mean, it could have been a little bit of a difficult game going in.
They did beat United.
Who?
Newcastle.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. They're not... I think where they sit in the table doesn't really define them as a club. Mm. I think that they're a little bit more organized, more sound than the consistency will show. So, I mean, yeah. For Liverpool, it's just another week. Same result that they get every week. I mean, as long as they're attacking and as long as the usual suspects are finishing their chances,
mm-hmm.
the defense has time to continue gelling together with Virgil back there, kind of linking them together, keeping them supportive, keeping them sound, and everything's going to keep going according to plan. And I think that, you know, hopefully for Liverpool, Klopp has been thinking this the whole time, but you know, if they keep attacking the way they are from the midfield out and the defense stays sound,
yeah,
it's going to be tricky. I mean,
so let's take this and transition into the conversation that you and I want to have today, which is about attacks in the Premier League. For me, I mean, it's really hard for us not to overlook City. Obviously, City's number one. I mean, their goal differential is absurd. No question. Plus 63, 83 goals for, 20 against. 83 goals is ridiculous. 3 draws, 1 loss this year. All the possession stats, highest shots per game, highest pass accuracy, highest everything. I mean, they're even highest in aerial duels, which I'm trying to figure out how that stat works because they don't have anybody that I can think of besides Kompany and Otamendi who win head balls. So it could be that the other team's always taking goal kicks and it's falling and it goes to City's back line. But City is the best attack in the league, unquestionably.
Yes.
We will give them their due. Sergio Aguero, you know, he got challenged in the beginning of the year and he has responded by smashing in goals, including a goal of the month candidate that he had a few weeks ago where he hit the underside of the bar, a blast that he just took inside. He's got 21 goals, but honestly, Ken, he has the lowest percentage of his team's goals of one of the quote-unquote elite number nines. He's got the lowest percentage of their team goals. He's got 18% of their goals because their goals are coming from other places, i.e. Raheem Sterling with 15 goals. Sané has 8, but he has 11 assists. I mean, the City attack is unbelievable.
Well, I think this goes into what Pep has done at Manchester City.
Yeah.
He has changed the culture. Now, City can feasibly, I don't see it happening, I don't know where these players would go, but mm-hmm. if for some reason they're lured somewhere else, City continues the same. They're not relying on one player like virtually every other club in the league is. You rely on one or two guys. City's getting their goals from you. It's a who's who of 6 or 7 players.
It is.
That's scoring a meaningful amount of goals, which is what makes City so dangerous, which is what makes them... I don't watch the other leagues religiously. I'll see highlights every once in a while, but what I would imagine, I mean, you could put them up against any team in the world and... You know, off of the anything can happen on any day scenario, they've got to be the best attacking team in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You just look at the names on the back of the jerseys, look at the goals that are tied to the names on the back of those jerseys, and you don't even, it doesn't even make sense. Like, how does Raheem Sterling have 15 goals when you have Aguero, De Bruyne setting everything up, all of these world-class players, and everyone just kind of writes off Raheem Sterling, and he's
got 15 goals.
Gotten 15.
Yep. Yeah.
Morata's got 10. Lacazette's got 9.
Not Lacazette. Oh, you're right. Okay, I thought you were still talking about...
Lacazette has 9.
Yeah, he has 9, and he hasn't scored since...
He hasn't scored, like...
January 20th.
It's been a long time.
But no.
It doesn't matter. What I'm saying is, like, that's just, like, how City is playing. It's a buffet of goals, and if you're putting on a City jersey on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, to any day of the week, you should be expecting to score a goal.
Yeah, I mean, you have Jesus, who's in there. He's been hurt. It's hard for me to respect him, Ken. I have a hard time with dudes that sob during injuries, and then the injury ends up being like 3 weeks. I have a hard time with that. But Jesus is a goal scoring threat, and for a while kept Aguero out of the team, but you know, gave a legit rotation option for a guy who has been scoring 20 goals for, like, I don't know, 8 years in a row. It's, you know, Jesus looks really, really good. And Bernardo stepping up now. You know, Bernardo has played in 41 matches this year. He only has 4 Premier League goals, and he hasn't started a ton of them, but he's played in 41 matches. So it seems like Pep is forcing that one in. He was a £45 million signing that you and I were trying to figure out where he would fit, and the answer is he fits off the bench. Until Sterling gets hurt. But Leroy Sané, Ken, is
If you're
terrifying.
Going to play like City plays, you need top quality on the bench that understands that on any other club you would be starting, and if you want to go start, go ahead. The door is that way. But if you want to win things and be part of something meaningful, Pep Guardiola is here, City is right here, and we're going to continue to do this. Because at this point, it's not like when Leicester won the title. It's not like, oh, we have to figure out, the teams needed a season to realize that all they're doing is counterattacking. They're finding ways to win at every single turn and every single bend in the road. Is it luck? I guess we'll find out next season, but
yeah.
I don't know. But
I mean, the hard thing for me is the when you develop a reputation like this, all these other teams, and we'll talk a little bit about the relegation battle, Ken, all these other teams, and by these other teams in the relegation battle, I'm talking about the entire bottom half of the table. All these teams, like you said, have anything on the line, they're not going in there to get 3 points against City. They're going in there to hope and pray for 1 point against City, to be that one of those 3 draws they had this season where they just packed the box. And that is the problem with next year to me. I believe that all these other teams, United, Chelsea, Tottenham, and Arsenal will be back, and Liverpool, they don't have the same... Teams don't come in there expecting to get thrashed. You know what I mean? Like, they'll put up a fight against United. They'll play their regular game plan against United. You can't play that against City right now because the City attack is so good. You know, De Bruyne, 7 goals, 14 assists.
Well, you can... But to the United point, I know that you love your United and you love your Mourinho, but... Mourinho has turned Man United into a club that is very beatable.
They were beatable before, though.
Right, but what now, the problem is, of course, every City can be beatable tomorrow. It just depends.
But I'm saying the last manager
now clubs believe, but now clubs believe that they can go into Old Trafford and beat them.
Yeah.
That's something Mourinho's done. I mean, that's a story for a different day, but that I don't think United is a story or a case to use for clubs not being able to get results against them anymore.
Yeah. Well, let's move on from City. I mean, we want to give them their due, obviously. They had the top 3 assist makers in the league, 14 from De Bruyne in 29 matches. Leroy Sané, Ken, 8 goals, 11 assists in 24 matches. Only 19 of them are starts. He's averaging almost a goal or an assist per game, which is absolutely ridiculous for his age. Silva has 9 assists in 22 matches, but Sané's terrifying, Ken. He looks like he's going to be one of these World Player of the Year candidates really, really soon. Dr. Pete was saying, you know, in the World Cup, Germany will be looking, they have to be playing him. They like to play their old guard, though, Ken, so we'll see how much he has to do, but he's a terrifying developing player. We're going to move on from City. Ken, I'm going to do it like this. Liverpool, Manchester United, Chelsea, Tottenham, and we'll throw Arsenal in there. They're not in form right now, but we'll throw Arsenal in there. Tell me which one you would take first if you're looking to attack.
Out of Liverpool, Tottenham, United, and Arsenal?
Yeah, we'll say
two. Attack-minded only?
Two, I think Liverpool. Six. All right, so you're going to take Liverpool. Let's talk about Liverpool a little bit here. They play a false nine with two wingers that are going in behind, Mohamed Salah being one of those wingers. And Firmino, for me, Ken, how do you feel about Firmino? Bobby Choppers, as they call him.
I always try to see, like, what everyone is seeing and what the big to-do is about Firmino. And he might not be scoring, you know, record-breaking goals or, you know, this crazy amount, like these flair-type goals on a consistent basis. But something with him being on the pitch allows for Mo and everyone else to just become available and score the goals needed. Yeah. And it's a weird role for a striker to be playing, but hey, it works out for that system. Does Firmino, does he carry the same weight at a different club? I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe not. He's good in the German league, but I mean, that's the German league.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. But right now he plays his position perfectly. He does come in. He seems excited to play for Liverpool. Looks like he's loving what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And as long as the people are there and that attacking front line of Liverpool and Mo can continue to do his job and everyone else that's around him can continue. They've even got, you know, every once in a while, I mean, they've even got Ox looking okay. I mean,
yeah, Ox has been good for them, actually, especially recently.
Right, but in that flow, like that's current Klopp system, outside of City, I don't think that there's even an argument for who the second best attacking club is in the league.
Okay. So we'll take them as the second best attacking club. I would agree. I'll say Firmino for me. He's a little obnoxious, but I'm also a United fan. His goal celebrations are terrible. He has 13 goals and 7 assists in the league in 28 matches. So he's sixth in the league. He's tied. Well, he's basically tied for third with Lukaku. Same output from Lukaku in goals and assists. But actually, Firmino doesn't take that many shots. So you have Harry Kane, who takes 5.8 shots per game. Mo Salah takes 4 for them. And Firmino sits like 20th in the league at 2.2 shots. So it just shows you that he's doing exactly what you're talking about, creating space underneath and allowing the team to attack and allowing Mo Salah to basically come through and be the goal scorer for them. 24 goals, 8 assists for Salah, as we mentioned before, and yeah, to release him. And Tyler had talked about this before, about having Diego Costa up there. And Diego Costa doesn't create as many assists, but he creates that kind of space. And he creates that kind of space for Hazard to be the Mo Salah. You know what I mean? So Liverpool, second best attack. Obviously, their leaky defense was a big problem in October and November. But they've really shored it up lately. Another clean sheet for them. And Karius, Ken, with a nice save in this one.
Yeah. Saw the highlight. Didn't see the goal or the game, but I did see the highlights.
Yeah, he pretty had a ridiculous. Nice save. He's been playing better. And, you know, with the Champions League coming up for all these teams, it looks the English look pretty good. I mean, the only team that really didn't play well was United. But anyway, Liverpool, second best attack in the league. Their leaky defense, it keeps them from being a clear-cut second. That silver medal that we talk about a lot, Ken. But they
you talk about it. I have to listen to you.
18 points behind City and third best attack in the league for you, Ken, between Tottenham, Manchester United, Arsenal, and Chelsea.
It'd be Tottenham.
It's Tottenham for you. Okay. Obviously, it's heavily influenced by Harry Kane. He is.
Yeah, it's Tottenham this season. Next season, who knows? They'll have to replace that guy.
Yeah, I actually am going to pick I really want to pick Chelsea. I mean, their goals show otherwise, but it's pretty tight. It's 53 goals for United, 55 goals for Tottenham, 50 goals for Chelsea on the season, and 52 goals for Arsenal, Ken. So you're Arsenal right in there with the goals scored. It's tough. I want to go with Chelsea because I know that when Hazard is on, he could be the best player in the league when he's on. And the fact that Morata's been so poor just has to drop them out. So I am going to go with United over Tottenham, Ken. You're not going to like this. I'm going with United over Tottenham just because of their conversion rate this year. They're in the top five in conversion rate. And having Rashford, Martial, and out of form Pogba right now, but all those players, they actually have a really high percentage of goals scored on the attack, and they're sitting at, as I said before, 53 goals. I give them a slight nod over Tottenham just because Tottenham has such a heavy reliance on one player. You can argue with me now, Ken.
I won't argue with you at all about it. I mean, it doesn't matter to me at this point because you're always going to choose United. You're never going to put them last. That's for
That's
sure.
Correct. I won't.
You might not put them first sometimes when you have some type of moment of clarity and logical thought that flows through that Manchester United head
didn't
of yours.
I put them first. I put them third.
No, because you can't put them first.
I mean, they are in third place with a game in hand. They'll be in second if they win tomorrow. They are they will be the second place team if they win tomorrow.
Sure.
I mean, obviously their goals allowed has a lot to do with that. They're number one in goals allowed with 20, tied with City. But I do think that the fact that they don't take that many shots, they don't have a lot of shots on per game, but the fact that they score them is devastating in terms of attack. It's not exciting. You know, Liverpool takes a lot of shots, gets a lot of opportunities. City gets a ton of opportunities. I just give them a slight nod over Chelsea because Morata is poor.
If you're talking about attack, it's talking about chances created. It doesn't matter. Like,
talking about
the
goals.
Conversion rate. I mean, I guess. Yeah, I mean.
I mean,
it's about, like,
efficiency.
Full-out attack.
That's
I mean,
efficiency.
No one's playing attack like City and Liverpool. Nobody is.
No,
not
and
even
I,
Tottenham.
I don't think United. I wouldn't put United in the picture with them, but if you're going to ask me between Tottenham, Chelsea, and Arsenal, I'm going to say United just because of their efficiency. They're all right around the same amount
of goals. I would say United would
only
be able to get above Tottenham only because of what you're saying is that without Harry Kane, who knows how many goals Tottenham score? Maybe half the amount of goals. Just because without Son's not as consistent as I would like for him to be, you know, as relied upon as Harry Kane. You're not going to rely on Son to score a goal when Harry Kane can't. I wouldn't.
Yeah. But, I mean,
and there's no
I
one
do
else.
Like Son, but yeah, I agree.
I do too. And Dele Alli, I mean, he's the same way. Finally, maybe after this weekend, he's starting to realize that he can have a meaningful impact on Tottenham, not score goals. Maybe he can set up some goals. Maybe that's some practice room stuff going on, finally sinking into his head.
He's been setting up a lot of goals, yeah.
Right, so you don't need Dele Alli to score a lot of goals, but what you absolutely cannot have is Dele Alli doing nothing.
Yeah,
which is what he did for the vast majority of the season.
But they hung
so
in
now
there.
He's starting to set goals up. I mean, he's good.
Yeah,
it makes more sense. So, I mean, I could see an argument for making United higher, but only because of the reliance on Kane.
But they do see. My thing is that Tottenham do have Harry Kane, so that you have to factor him into their offense. I would say that for me, it's the efficiency. Their conversion rate is 20% of their shots converted. That's third in the league, behind Manchester City, who's at 21%, and Leicester City, Ken, who's at 21% as well. Jamie Vardy, by the way, with the lowest amount of shots in the top 10 for goals scored, and the still sitting, I think, a tied joint fourth for goals. That's very impressive. But back to what we're talking about. United, for me, it's about efficiency. They are a very efficient offense. They are not exciting. But if you're going to ask me, I think Chelsea with Morata.
I think when you talk about efficiency, like,
that's important.
Looking at specifically
the opposite of last year.
But efficiency, though, it still does have to equate into goals scored. And if you're going to go on attack, meaning to your point, it has to be goals scored.
Mm-hmm.
They're not scoring as much as Tottenham.
Tottenham has 55, and United has 53, but United have a game in hand, Ken. If they win 3-0 tomorrow, then they have more goals.
Well, let's see tomorrow. Then we have a different argument, I guess.
Okay. Okay. United is my choice, Tottenham for you. Now, Ken, for me, the Arsenal and Chelsea teams, for me, the fact that Morata has been so poor over the last 3 months really sets Chelsea back. We're going to let Tyler be ready to come in when we're done here to argue with this one. But Chelsea versus Arsenal. Chelsea has 50 goals. Arsenal has 52. We're talking about attack right now. We're not talking about who's a better team. I would much rather watch Arsenal play. I would much rather watch Arsenal finish. And I think that with their midfielders, their setup midfielders, they have a little more opportunities. They have more opportunities to finish goals. They get more goals from different places. Ken, how do you feel about Chelsea versus Arsenal?
I mean, if you're going to go statistically, you have to say Arsenal. Obviously, okay. Place in the table would say different, but that's more along the lines of a consistency issue and a form issue. But when you look at passes, touches, goals, chances created, it's Arsenal. Over Tottenham, over Chelsea in all of those categories. So if you're going to go plainly, specifically off of what the statistics show, you have to say Arsenal.
Arsenal with more goals this season. Really, their problem has been all about goals allowed. We are not talking about that right now.
They have more goals.
They have more
touches, more passes.
Yep, more possession, more shots per game. Higher pass accuracy, actually slightly lower pass accuracy, only by 1%. But you'd have to say that it's. I would much rather watch Ramsey and Ozil put balls through than the Chelsea attack right now. But Morata plays a big role in that, and you know him. By him being a dud, he has really torpedoed Chelsea's season. As what you know, we were talking about before with having Diego Costa there. Makes a huge difference. Diego Costa, a very high conversion rate, a very good finishing striker, which Morata has so far proven not to be, and very, very capable of handling the rigors of the Prem was Diego Costa also.
Not to go off on a Costa poker. Tangent, because we talked about this before,
yeah.
But of course, Chelsea, they rely on a player like Diego Costa, who can take something out of nothing and score a goal.
Yeah.
I really still believe that the way that Costa saga was handled was because there had to be some type of verbal agreement for Lukaku to go to Chelsea, for them to treat Costa the way that they did and just throw him out to pasture so early that they're paying for it now. Because now they have two strikers that they signed in the same season that they don't trust to put on the pitch.
Yeah, you have Giroud there, and you have Morata, both of whom have been poor. But you still have Willian, who's been brilliant.
Today, why wouldn't you have Giroud Hazard up front and Hazard feeding the link-up play to Giroud? It doesn't make sense to me. Like, to me, it just shows that they were trying to draw.
Yeah,
they weren't really trying to get a result out of like a win out of this type result. But to me, it doesn't make sense. If you're not going to put Morata out there, you have Giroud, who is he's proven this season to score goals when it matters the most.
Yeah, and especially coming off the bench, that's a tough way to score goals, and he's proven that he can do that.
Different topic. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, so Tyler, we're talking. I mean. We've been talking about Chelsea versus Arsenal here, the attacks, and who's better, who you'd rather watch. You are familiar with the Chelsea attack from the Mourinho days, from the Drogba days, where you had a number nine up there who could score goals on his own, but was a big physical presence. How do you feel about Chelsea versus Arsenal in terms of which attack you like better right now?
It's tough because I, you know, as much as I like to give Ken a hard time, I do enjoy watching Arsenal most of the time.
Yeah.
Play. Chelsea has just been so uneven, and the games that they lose are terrible to watch, and the games they win aren't that much better anyway. At least I feel like there's some excitement in Arsenal games.
Okay.
And, I mean, I still support Chelsea, you know, heart and soul, but in terms of actually having more fun watching the games, I've had a lot more fun watching Arsenal attack. They had... Who was that team that they beat 4-0? Ken, I think we watched that game together. That was a fun game to watch. And even when Chelsea...
some mid-table. Yeah.
West Brom, maybe.
Yeah, and even when Chelsea beats the brakes off somebody, it's not... It's just not enjoyable to watch right now. And I think it has a lot to do with the... you know, all the issues that they have in the backfield, or not in the backfield, I'm sorry, in the locker room, and the animosity between the coaches. So
yeah.
I'm going to have to give Arsenal the nod right now. And they just can't figure out what they want to do offensively. They try a different thing almost every week, and nothing works, and they never give it enough time to actually come together.
Yeah, I mean, for me, my big thing with the Chelsea offense is when it was at its best last year, they relied on about, I think, 20% of their goals were scored off dead balls. That's including free kick shots and corner kicks whipped in. So for me, I completely agree, Tyler, with what you're saying, and would rather see Arsenal play than Chelsea. But, you know, when they are flying... It is fun to watch their fullbacks. Azpilicueta, when he's putting balls in, I mean, I think Pep acknowledged in his press conference today that Azpilicueta is one of the best at whipping balls in. It's just they are missing something this year. Tyler, to your point, they're missing something, and it makes it hard to watch. It's hard to watch because they play so defensively, very much like United. But, so... I will take Arsenal over Chelsea as well, as will Tyler, very honestly. Real quick, Ken, I want to talk about the best setup men in the Prem. In terms of assists, we already talked about De Bruyne, Sané, and Silva, who lead the league in assists. But Pogba is actually tied for third with Silva with 9, and he's only had 19 matches. And really, a lot of attention's been on him for how poorly he's played in the last few weeks. But he's actually kind of quietly has 9 assists, which is, De Bruyne has 14, but Pogba has 9, is third, and Dele Alli has 8. For me, you have Eriksen after that, Ozil's there. Ken, who is the best setup man outside of De Bruyne in the league?
Outside of De Bruyne, I mean,
yeah, I gave you Ozil, Pogba's there, Dele Alli's there, Eriksen is there. I don't think any.
I'd like to say Ozil, but Cesc, he doesn't Cesc's show up there. Every game. And to me, Cesc is more of a 2 or 3 passes down the road before it culminates to anything that matters, which still does matter, absolutely. But
yeah.
I wouldn't say that he's the final ball in 9 out of 10 times. I mean, he is integral in setting it up, but...
Mm-hmm. How about Mahrez, Ken?
I would say Mahrez until...
I don't get any opportunities.
I do not like the idea of a player sit-down. Whether it's rumor or not, I just don't like even hearing about it, so... Mm-hmm. I got a bad taste in my mouth about Mahrez right now. I do think that he is really good. I think that he is, not to be disrespectful to Leicester and their fans, but I think that he is a wasted talent at that club because they don't have the players around him that would allow his talents to flourish. If Harry Kane stays at Tottenham, if Son stays at Tottenham, which I think he will, if they can keep the core players and Dele Alli plays the way that he's been playing the last 2 or 3 games, I think there's an argument for Dele Alli to be one of the better setup men in at least the Prem.
He's top 5 right now.
I mean, he's kind of done that on accident. He hasn't even tried. Yeah. I mean, he's only been playing like that for what I've noticed the last 2 games, really.
Yeah, no, that's in absolutely accurate.
Last game specifically. So there might be something to be said for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like right now it's hard to not give the best anything type of title to anyone not wearing that disgusting, heinous blue of Manchester City.
You and your hate for the blue.
So yeah. if Sané, you can't pick Silva, De Bruyne, you have to pick Sané or Silva. I think, to me, Pogba, I don't see the lust, the allure, I don't see the magic that is Pogba, honestly. And it could be Mourinho, his style of play. But when I see Pogba play, I honestly, like, I can count on one hand the times that I've said to myself, oh, wow, this guy's legit. I mean, he's worth 100. And I think that if you were to take your honest Manchester United hat off, you would agree to that, Tom, especially this season.
Honestly, I saw him play live, and I'm not talking about the
every once in a while. I'm talking about on a consistent basis that can give you the title of being the best anything. It's not doing it once, Tom. But it's doing it week in, week out. And yeah, he's number 3 on the list of assists within the league. But you can't tell me that you watch him every single week and think, wow, that guy, he is demanding his £100 million transfer.
I think it's more about the fact that his floor is high, in that he, you know, his ability to pass.
I'm talking about floor. Get out of here. I'm talking about consistency to get us there, Tom. We're not talking about who can be the best. We're talking about who is the best.
Well, he's tied for 3rd in assists, and he has 17 matches versus the other guys who have between 25 and 28. So I think that is something that tangible you can hold on to. Beyond the fact that
it's a big if, yeah, I guess. I mean,
yeah, I was surprised by it, Ken. I was, because he has had a mediocre year this year, but we have to remember that he hasn't played as many matches and he's been playing poorly lately, and try not to let that affect us too much. But that being said, would you take Dele Alli over him? Maybe, because Dele Alli, you could argue, is a part of Kane and the Kane scoring machine. I think Firmino's there too, Ken.
Honestly, Dele Alli over Pogba right now, I'd have questions about both.
Yeah, absolutely, which is just goes to show you how dominant Manchester City is by having 3 players in the top of this conversation. Liverpool, for me, you'd have to have Firmino in there as a guy who's a setup man, who's pretty solid. Yeah. Not Jordan Henderson. He's not in this conversation, Ken. I like... Lallana's pretty good too. He's been in and out with injury, but he's pretty good. Eriksen's been brilliant over the last 3 years. He's not having a superb year this year, but they have a run-in coming up, and we'll see what happens. I also like Son. I mean,
if you're talking players on their day, if we could just
let's do on their day.
Day, it's Mesut Ozil.
It's Ozil.
No question.
It's Ozil. Yeah.
No question. Ozil. I mean, the way that he floats a ball in, perfectly weighted, every single time, and I mean every single time
Ozil's
on his day.
As number 2.
On his day. Yeah, yeah, I would say that. I would say
right now.
Yeah, even on his day, right now, he doesn't beat De Bruyne, but he beats everyone else in the league. The problem with Ozil is he'll go a stretch of games where, like, people will start, they'll switch their Wenger out signs for an Ozil out sign.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Because he just doesn't show up, but.
No.
Yeah, you know. We'll see now. I mean, it's the highest paid player on the club. You better start showing up every week.
It's not his job to play defense, though, and that has been the Arsenal problem. All right, Ken, pretty good conversation with that one. I like that one. And you'd have to say, for me, De Bruyne right now, I mean, it's easy to say that Leo Messi's going to win the Ballon d'Or because Barcelona is undefeated, but City has more goals than they do by 13 in the league. They play in a much harder league than Barcelona does. And, I mean, it all depends on their Champions League finish.
Well, City's kind
and
of
the
putting
World
the
Cup
asterisk
will be factored
on that.
In too.
Is it the hardest league in the
world?
Who
they
knows?
Are. Honestly, they are, Ken. But I don't think it's really... I think the Champions League is the counter-argument to that, how well the English teams are doing in the Champions League this year. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. It'll come down to Champions League. And, honestly, Ken, I hate to say it, but the tiebreaker could be the World Cup between... you know, Messi. Ronaldo really hasn't been in the running, but if he wins a Champions League or a World Cup, he would be. You know, he hasn't been that good in the league for a Real team that's 20 points back. You have to say that they're 20 points back, so Messi would get the Ballon d'Or this year. That just seems to be the way it works. Messi's on another level right now, though, Ken. He scored, I don't know if you saw this, but he scored his 600th goal in all competitions. That includes international. And he scored 3 free kicks in 3 games in a row. 3 different types of free kicks.
Yeah. I did see the 600 thing. I also saw something to the effect of Ronaldo reached a certain amount of a goal milestone before Messi did. I think there's a lot to be said about that, too.
Also, Ronaldo has a higher goals per game ratio than Messi does. Ronaldo's, I believe, in La Liga is over 1-1.
And the Messi's simple fact that Ronaldo is a winger and Messi plays a striker. So, to me,
Messi has played as a winger. It depends on the coach. Sometimes they play him as right, a... It does, it does.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Fastest player to score 300 goals.
But I think, you know, De Bruyne, if City wins a Champions League, De Bruyne should be in that conversation. He probably won't be, just because people are so used to devoting...
Well, it's the Messi-Ronaldo. It's the Messi-Ronaldo era, and unfortunately for anyone in their age group, I mean, you're not going to... It's like Olympics, you know?
Yeah.
You're just born in the wrong year.
Yeah, it's true. Messi has the most talent. He has more talent than anyone else in terms of goal-scoring prowess and whatnot. And Ronaldo, of course...
In that league, I will always hang my hat on the fact that in that Ronaldo, league...
Yeah, Ronaldo did it in the Prem. Absolutely, you and I are on the same page with that. But right now, Messi's on fire and Ronaldo isn't. So that's why we're having the conversation. Sure. At the same time, if City win the Champions League, that would be a treble for them.
Saying is if City win the Champions League, they've already won the league, and Belgium can win a World Cup,
then I think De Bruyne would win.
Then De Bruyne gets it.
That's what you need, buddy. That's what you need to
it's a
beat.
Small order.
Maybe,
it's a small order.
Maybe beat Messi. Messi would still be. I mean, he's still a better player for me than De Bruyne. That's not like you said. That's no slight against De Bruyne, but yeah. I mean, we have some awesome Champions League matches coming up this weekend. I know this competition has no prestige for you. But PSG, Real, no Neymar, as Neymar has been injured. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks, I think it was. And then you have Tottenham versus Juventus. Really, Ken, the only thing we need to talk about is Liverpool, Manchester United at Old Trafford. I need your pick, Ken.
Liverpool.
Liverpool's in form. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw. Tyler, what do you think about Liverpool versus Manchester United?
I'm in the same boat with you. I see them drawing.
Yeah, Tyler's used to the Jose approach. That's what it is. Arsenal plays Watford.
See a draw is Liverpool doesn't play for a draw. They can't play for a draw. They don't have the defense that allows for that.
Yeah, but if United packs it in again, even though they're at home, it should be a fun match. I'm hoping for some...
If United packs it in again, you can guarantee United gets skull-dragged.
Interesting.
If they pack it in.
Interesting. United playing Liverpool, huge match. It's so much fun when you have 5 teams fighting for things. I mean, Arsenal has been eliminated from that, but you still have 5 teams fighting for things. Chelsea plays
Crystal
Palace.
Well, you
got 4
teams fighting for the most important spot in the league right now, which is third. That's all that matters, is finishing third.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from with that. There's no... if you finish in fourth, you have to play that qualifying match for the Champions League, which is a
second
pain.
And third is no difference. You can't win first.
We've talked about that before. But anyway, Chelsea plays Crystal Palace in a derby match, a London derby match. Manchester City plays Stoke. Good luck, Stoke. Arsenal plays Watford. Tottenham at Bournemouth. All these games are big now going down the stretch, and it'll be a lot of fun. Ken, anything you want to add to our Premier League games for next weekend?
No, nothing.
I will end it with this, Ken. Did you see Kolesniak's non-yellow card where he, like, shoulder-checked that guy in the face super late? Oh, what was that?
I mean, to me, the only thing that makes it worse that it wasn't a second yellow and him getting sent off of the pitch was... The yellow cards that were being brandished in that game were pretty absurd. And then to not give someone a yellow card for being about... if you had a stopwatch, I'd say it might be close to 2 seconds late.
Yeah.
And he shoulder-checked the guy in the chin.
You think it'd be a retroactive ban?
I think... No. I think what honestly helped him in that situation was he walked away. He turned around, directly looked at the player, made sure he was okay, and walked away. didn't get in the referee's face, didn't get in any player's face. He just laid in the cut for long enough to where I think, honestly, the referee just kind of forgot what happened.
Yeah.
Because that's definitely, I mean, that might be a red card.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering about a retroactive ban. It was pretty ridiculous. But anyway, Arsenal play their Europa match against Milan coming up pretty soon. Is that this week?
Yeah, midweek. And
they've lost four matches in a row, I think, in all comps.
You would imagine twice. That any other club, any other manager in the situation that Arsene Wenger is in, NBC Sports touched on this, and I fully agree with it. There would be a meeting held tomorrow, Monday, that says, if you don't win at Milan, you are fired.
Yeah.
But that is not going to happen.
No, I agree completely. We've talked about it ad nauseum. I'm not looking, like you said before, to kick a horse while it's down. We're not going to go into details about how they lost this week. They also lost twice to City. That's just unfortunate timing to me, is to play this City team right now.
Well, to play City, I mean, I'm not even really upset about the losses. Aggregate. Like I said, I'm more upset about the way of the losses.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everyone is losing to City, and that's very loserish to say that.
No.
But everyone's losing to them. It's just the manner in which you lose. At least have some respect about yourself.
Yeah. So Arsenal looks consigned to sixth place, but they have Europa, and Milan is, I think, in seventh place in Serie A. But, you know, that's what they have to hang their hat on. That's what they have to play for. And Arsene says he's the one to change it around. He's the one to turn it up. So we'll see what happens with it.
Time will tell.
I got nothing else, Ken.
Nothing.
All right, everybody, for Tyler, unless Tyler has something to say. Tyler, you just jumped in.
I do not.
Okay. For Tyler Alfeld and Ken Lee, I'm Tom Miller, saying everybody have an awesome week.